جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وكتبنا له في الألواح من كل شيء موعظة وتفصيلا لكل شيء فخذها بقوة وأمر قومك يأخذوا بأحسنها سأريكم دار الفاسقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Previously I mentioned here that there are two groups in this life. One group are the successful ones, and the second group are those who are not successful. And for each success and failure, there are reasons. These things do not happen by chance, by accident or coaccident, coincidence. These things happen by design. Those who are successful, those who achieved success in this life, they were determined to be successful. And those who were failures, they also did not do anything to help themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدْرٍ. Everything that takes place in this life, it takes place by a measure, by a design, by a decree, by willingness, determination. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدْرٍ. In another verse, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Anything that happens in this life, it happened because of design, because of preparation. Nothing had happened by accident. Even the accident that we see in the freeway in a rainy day like today, it happens because of a reason. There are reasons for accidents. Some people get involved in accidents because, as I saw right away 10 minutes ago, someone was reading his text right before his eyes and he was driving. Maybe he can survive today, inshallah, but who knows what will happen to him in the near future. So these things happen by design. And therefore, the road to success has many ingredients. I mentioned two of them previously, a month ago, on this podium. One of them is that we have to have an objective, clear objective in this life. When we are asked, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? Where are you heading? We have to know the answer. I don't know is not an answer. I really don't know what I am doing with my life is not an answer. You have to know. You have to know your goal. You have to be clear about it. The second is that don't choose any goal. Choose the best. In these lives, there are many objectives, many destinations, many roads. You have to choose the best. Allah has put you here, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see what, who does the best, not who does good. Allah does not like good. Allah likes the best. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. أحسن, أفضل, the best. You have to do the best. Allah said, I created potentials in you, gifts. Try to discover them. Try to utilize them. Don't keep them hidden, buried inside you. You have huge potentials. If you can do good at school, why don't you go to school? I say to the young generation, I say sometimes we go to poor countries, they don't have an opportunity to study. Four days ago in Zanzibar, I was sitting with some youth. They said, we wish we can have good universities, good education system like America here. We'd love to study, but we don't have this opportunity. And we don't have money to go study abroad. They have intelligence, they have willingness, but they don't have the means. In America, we have these means available. I tell the young Muslims, why don't you go to school? This is not an excuse if you don't go to school here. And you have to go to the best school here. You have to study. You have to prepare yourself. I mentioned last night here, Al-Imam, alaykum as-salam, Al-Imam Musa al-Kadhim, alayhi salatu wassalam. In his speech, he says, nothing is better than aql, reason. And the food for aql and reason is ilm, is knowledge. So when knowledge is available, it's a crime if we don't learn. It's a crime if we don't encourage our young generation to continue their studies, to be students from cradle to grave. Don't waste your time. Don't be satisfied with minimum wage in this country. This is not Islamic. If someone has potentials and power and gifts and intelligence and physical well-being, then he says, minimum wage is enough for me. No, it's not enough. Allah says, this is not enough for you. You have to do better. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If you do better in this life, definitely you're going to do better in the hereafter. This life is a prelude to the hereafter. If I'm a failure here, I will be a failure there too. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved paradise for the failures. Allah says paradise is for those who are successful in this life. Those who take care of themselves and others and their countries and their societies. Which is better? Someone who is a burden on the community or someone who generates some money to help his community and his country and others too. Not only his community, but he can help other communities too. Who is better in the eyes of Allah? You give me the answer. Then the third reason of success is التوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى. Trusting Allah, putting your full trust and full confidence in Him, depending on Him, then trusting oneself, having self-confidence in yourself. First, we have to trust Allah. If someone cannot trust Allah, he or she would not be able to generate self-confidence. So trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depend on Him. Make sure that you have good connection with Him, good relationship with Him. Allah can see you, Allah can hear you, Allah can follow you, Allah can be with you, Allah listens to you. But sometimes Allah says, I don't give you all what you need. I want to see you struggling in this life. Does a mother give everything to her child? Everything he asks for? She doesn't. Otherwise he's going to be spoiled. Otherwise he's not going to be responsible. Allah says, I want you to be responsible. And through these struggles, these turbulences, these sufferings sometimes, sufferings, you build yourself, you build your character. You build your future, you build your nation, your community. At-tawakkulu ala Allah, and then renewed self-confidence. Once you put your trust in Allah, go forward, move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with endless opportunities and talents and gifts and powers and energies. We have to utilize them. I have seen two models in my life. Someone who is very hesitant, weak-spirited, has low self-esteem, does not believe in himself, he cannot move forward. Not only he cannot move forward, he will deter and bar others from moving forward. In his family, even if his brothers, his siblings, his sister wants to do this, no, don't do that. You're going to be killed. You're going to be destroyed. You lose your money, you lose your wife. On the other hand, I find examples, powerful inspirations in this life of someone who have high self-esteem, high self-confidence, self-respect, self-worth. He puts his trust in Allah and he moves forward and he looks forward, not backward, forward. Full of energy, full of hopes. And he utilizes them. He's an adventurer, but with reason, with aql, with caution. I read a story 2 days ago in the airplane. Very inspiring story. Very inspiring story of someone, 19 years old college student in Louisville. He works for pizza delivery. Look at the headline. Stabbed, robbed, but still delivers. He was going to deliver pizza to an emergency room in the hospital. He was carjacked, robbed, stabbed in his back. He was wounded. He still made it to the emergency room. He said, hi, I have a pizza delivery. And then he collapsed in the emergency room. This is a man. This guy, Allah loves him. Allah adores him. This is the jewel of God's creation. He delivers. He has a responsibility. Even though he's wounded, he's about to die. But he says, I have responsibility. This is amana, the food amana. People are waiting. People are hungry. I have to deliver it. This guy deserves to be the president of the United States of America. A man of action. A man who couples his words with actions. His parents should be proud of him. And you know, his boss, he says, this is how he is. He's always on time. He always delivers. Whether it's a snow, rain, heat, winds, he delivers. We have to deliver. Allah says, I have endowed you with a responsibility. Don't be timid. Don't let other influence you in a bad way. You have a mission in this life. Sometimes the mission is not long. Sometimes the mission in our eyes is not very influential, is not very important. But this small act in the eyes of Allah is huge. It's big. He puts his life at risk, but he does not go home or he says, I can't deliver. And he calls the emergency, come and save me. He says, I have a mission. And believe me, this gentleman, if when he dies as a shaheed martyr. Shaheed. Shaheed is not only when you go to the battlefield. This is your battlefield. Your battlefield is to earn an honorable wage that you deserve. You deserve. So if you die in that path, you are shaheed. So we have these two examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want you to handle it with force. Look at what Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf. وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ Moses, I want you to handle this message with force, with power, with resilience, with determination. فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ If you are weak-spirited, you cannot deliver. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same chapter, chapter 7, Surah Al-A'raf, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ يمسكون, not يمسكون. يمسك is to hold. You are holding. يمسك when you hold firm. يمسك. You don't let go. This is يمسك. تشديد. There is emphasis. يمسك, not يمسك. يمسك, I hold it. But hold it fast, يمسك. When you have a responsibility, you have to hold it fast. In another verse, Surah Al-Baqarah, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ O children of Israel, we have given you the law, the Torah, the message, the responsibility. Be responsible. Be firmly responsible. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ We have a goal in this life. We have a destination. We have to reach destination. If we get disappointed or weak-spirited or distracted, we are not going to reach our final destination. I said many times, life is a marathon. In the marathon, the second, every second counts. Every second counts. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, in this life, every second counts. Don't waste it. Don't waste your time. I see some people who are successful and I study their life. Those who are successful, they don't waste their time. They don't sleep more than what they need. Look at the young generation nowadays. Their hobbies, one of their hobbies is basketball and sleeping. They are not going to get anywhere. Someone who depends on his parents to sustain him, to help him, to send him to school, to feed him, to put the food in his mouth. That person cannot bear the responsibility of a community, let alone his own family. You have to be worried always. Worried in a nice way. Thinking of the next step, next day. What is my duty today? What did I do? Otherwise, we can't move forward. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ And then, the last but not the least reason of success is to have huge amount of patience and steadfastness. Allah says always victory and relief comes after a long period of suffering. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty comes ease. Ease does not come by itself. Ease never comes first. Ease are always second. Is always second. After usr, after difficulty, after suffering. Then at the end, you find the ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my condition for victory, to bestow victory upon you, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ They have firm belief in God, and then they remain straight and steadfast. Istiqama, uprightness. They don't collapse. They don't get collapsed. They don't get despondent or despaired. Don't allow despair to creep into your heart. It will destroy you. Don't. Even if you fail it twice, 3 times, 10 times, 20 times, say the 21st time I will be a victor. I will triumph. At the end, I will triumph. This is how we move forward. But if you're afraid of failing, some people are going to say this about me, some people are going to criticize me, then you are not going to move forward. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Satan strikes on you every single day. When you are in bed, in the morning, in the evening, midday, when you are by yourself, when you are with others, he always tries to frighten you, intimidates you, blackmails you. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Those who follow him, he intimidates them. They cannot move forward. Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Once they achieve istiqama, uprightness, they are strong, at that time, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels are going to descend upon them. Angels are going to descend upon them. Don't let Satan frightens you. I tell you a story, a funny story that happened to my family. Maybe 20 years ago, my two sons, Hadi and Mehdi, sometimes we used to keep them at home in London to walk with my wife in the neighborhood. And they would be okay. They stay at home alone, for maybe half an hour. One day I came back home and they were standing in the street, frightened. I said, what happened? You are always at home. I discovered that someone called the home, a lady. She said, where is your mother? They told her, my mother is with my daddy. Where is your daddy? My daddy and my mother are outside walking. She said, you are alone by yourself? Aren't you afraid to be alone? So they hung up the phone and they ran away. They stood in the street. Intimidation. This is intimidation. Don't allow people to intimidate you. In this case, say yes. I am alone, I am strong, it's peaceful, you can come and have a cup of tea with me. This should be the answer, positive answer. Do not allow people to frighten you, to intimidate you. This life is full of bad people who want always to put you down. They don't want you to be successful. When you connect with Allah, don't worry. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. This is connection. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Then they are steadfast. Why do you worry? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. I said, I saw a movie, and I urge you to see this movie. In the airplane, yesterday, the day before yesterday, of James Cameron, am I pronouncing the name correct? The director of Titanic. He made a movie about the depth of the ocean. He made a vessel, cost millions of dollars. He went to the depth of 37,000 feet by himself. To the lowest point in the ocean. 37,000 feet by himself. He can do that. He started with 1,000 feet, then 2,000, then 6,000, then 10, 12, 14, 20, until 37. He can do it. No human being has reached that point ever. He did it at the age of 65, whatever. He can do it. You can do. Allah says, when you are connect with me, the courage is here in your heart. Your heart has to be courageous, full of confidence. You can do things that people before you did not do. The power of faith. The power of faith and connection with Allah. Allah says, sometimes this power of faith, I give it to someone who's not a Muslim. But he still believes in me. He believes in God. He believes in God. So the fourth reason for success is اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. اصبروا وصابروا. Be patient. Teach each other patience. ورابطوا. Stand firm in your position. رابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم صل على محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. Today is the 26th of the month of Rajab, the anniversary of the death of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, Abdu Munaf ابن عبد المطلب ابن هاشم, the father of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الله صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This character unfortunately had been neglected and marginalized and even abused by Muslim historians. For a simple reason. He happened to be the father of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's the only crime he committed. They accused him of dying while he's mushrik, non-believer in God, while he was one of the in the forefront of those who embraced the message of Islam and defended the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took care of him in his custody. He sponsored him while he was only 8 years old. We know that the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while his mother was still pregnant with him, Amina bint Wahb. Abdullah died. So when the Prophet was born, he went into the custody of his paternal grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Then when Abdul Muttalib was about to die, he called his son Abu Talib, the father of Imam Ali. And he said to him, I cannot find a better person than you, a believer. Believer in God. At that time they were following the tradition of Ibrahim. Millata Ibrahim hanifan wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. This is before the Ba'tha, before the ministry of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, I'm going to leave this child of 8 years old, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in your custody. He left him in the custody of his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib took care of him more than taking care of his own children. He had 4 children, Talib, then Aqil, then Ja'far, then Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And he had 2 daughters, Fakhita and Jumana. Fakhita's nickname is Ummu Ayman and Jumana. But then he cherished this little boy until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached the age of 40 and he started his mission. The first man who accepted his mission was Ali ibn Abi Talib, followed by Khadija ridwanullahi ta'ala alayha. Then Abu Talib accepted Islam. But he had to conceal his faith. Abu Talib was a prominent figure in Mecca. He had good relationship with the Meccans, with the chiefs of Quraysh. And in order for him to protect his nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their aggression, he had to forge and maintain his friendship with the Meccans. So he concealed his iman. Katama imana. Because once he declared his iman, they will consider him part of Muhammad's group. They would not speak with him. They will boycott him. So he had to maintain his relationship with Quraysh so he can defend his nephew. Today, my friends, today I was speaking to a professor in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He said, I am working in this university for 25 years. I am Shia and no one knows about my Shiaism. You know, in certain countries, if they know you are Shia, like the Emirates, United Arab Emirates, you lose your job. In other countries, you lose your life. You lose your life, not your job. Someone told me I worked in Qatar for 3 years for Sheikha Moza, the wife of the last Amir and the mother of this Amir, current Amir. And he said, nobody knew that I am Shia. It was very risky for me to know. Yes, in Qatar, Hindus, Sikhs, atheists, Jews, Christians, you know, homosexuals, they all work and they are respected. But if you are a Shia, then this is a big danger. This is exactly what Abu Talib did. Taqiyya. Taqiyya, when someone do not have tolerance, do not have open-mindedness, someone who are a group of people who are stuck in their tribal narrow-mindedness, then you have to use taqiyya. Do you know that Saudi Arabia issued the new Hajj forms, applications for the Hajj visa? And the one that they distribute in Pakistan, there is a place there, an item, are you Shia or not? So if you are Shia, they provide you with a red carpet reception, you know, when you arrive there. This is in the 21st century, and their leaders are here in Camp David with our president, and he considers them their strongest allies. The Sheikhdom of the Gulf, they are the closest allies of America, the largest and the biggest democracy. Look at the irony. Look at the irony. The closest allies of America, the United States of America, with 200 years, a history of 200 years of democracy, defending democracy, are the sheikhdoms of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. Abu Talib had to defend the Prophet, and he confessed many times in his poetry, many times on numerous occasions, that I am defending Muhammad not because he is my nephew, Muhammad because he is the messenger of Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأجمع علماء أهل البيت على أن أبا طالب عليه السلام مات على التوحيد. Consensus among the school of أهل البيت that Abu Talib was muwahhid, a monotheist. Before his death, he was Muslim. He died 88 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was born 35 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died 10 years after the Ba'tha. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Ba'tha, 27th of Rajab. So he died 10 years before the Ba'tha. How did he die? Because Quraysh boycotted the Prophet, and they sanctioned them, and they had to stay in a ranch, Shi'bu Mecca or Shi'bu Abi Talib, piece of a property that belonged to Abu Talib. Prophet Muhammad, Abu Talib, Khadija, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the rest, the few believers, they had to take refuge in this place for 3 years. They did not allow food to come in. As a result of malnourishment, Abu Talib died, Khadija died within a few weeks, and the Prophet declared that year the year of what? Sadness. Amul Huzn. He lost the two most important loyal confidants, Abu Talib and Khadija. And after that, he had no protector. Therefore Allah said to him, now that you lost Khadija, and Abu Talib alayhim as-salam, you have no room in Mecca, no place in Mecca, no defender, no supporter. Now I give you permission to leave Mecca and go to Medina. Abu Talib accepted Islam. And listen to what in Al-Kitab al-Kafi, what Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says about Abu Talib. إِنَّ جِبْرَئِيلَ نَزَلَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَالْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُقْرِئُكَ السَّلَامُ. O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, your Lord is greeting you. يَقْرَأُكَ السَّلَامُ وَيَقُولْ إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ النَّارَ عَلَى, I have forbidden the fire to touch, three, عَلَى صُلْبٍ أَنزَلَكَ, a backbone who descended you, who sent you into this life. وَعَلَىٰ بَطْنٍ حَمَلَكَ, and a womb that carried you. وَعَلَىٰ حِجْرٍ كَفَلَكَ, and a lap that provided you with security, fostered you. أَمَّ فَالصُّلْبُ صُلْبُ أَبِيكَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, the backbone is your father, Abdullah. The fire would not touch him. والبطن الذي حملك أمك آمنة بنت وهب, the womb that carried you is your mother Fatima. والحجر الذي كفلك عمك أبو طالب, and the lap, the cradle that took care of you and protected you and shielded you against the aggression of Quraysh is your uncle Abu Talib. And then at the time of his death, the Prophet ordered Imam Ali to wash him, to shroud him, to bury him, to pray over him. And then he went to the public, the Prophet. He said to the people, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَأَشْفَعَنَّ لِعَمِّي شَفَاعَةً يَعْجَبُ مِنْهَا أَهْلُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ, I'm going to stand in support of my uncle Abu Talib on the Day of Judgment before God. I will intercede on his behalf before Allah, a shafa'ah, an intercession that the entire creation is going to be amazed of it. Shafa'atan ya'jabu minha ahlu thaqalain. Rahmatullah ala Abi Talib. We send our salam to him on the day of his departure today. A father who delivered an outstanding human being for the humanity. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam is physically, biologically, the product of his father Abu Talib, and spiritually and morally is the product of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. غدا عندنا الجلسة العربية في الساعة الثامنة بمناسبة مبعث رسول الله. We are celebrating the mab'ath with Arabic language. Once in a while, allow us to speak our native language here. It will be tomorrow at 8 p.m. inshallah, an Arabic session for Mab'ath al-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat, tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat. Allahumma wahhid kalimat al-muslimin ala al-khayri wal-birri wal-salahi wal-taqwa ya arhamar rahimin. Munna ala mardana bil-shifa'i wal-afiyah. انصر المؤمنين في اليمن والبحرين يا أرحم الراحمين, وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان, وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.